It's called To Summon a Muse. One of the nine for the summoning. Careful now, waves of fate play before us. When she comes as a fresh mirror, you'll know your choice was true. Blooming grace appears, flourishing thalia holds to comedy playfully your laugh. Trumpet's entrance, fair-voiced Calliope awakens the poet's epic pen. Hero praising proclaimer Cleo excites the scribe in history. Romantic mimic, lovely lyrical Erato bathes the dreamer poet in love. Pleasured winds, Euterpe's flute sets free the imprisoned music. Proclaimer Melpomene, while joyful in song, plucks a weeping chord for tragedy. Mayhemed Polyhymnia reveals the immortal source of perfection for sacred poetry. Whirling Tersicore, fingers strumming, choral toes births a dancing song. Heavenly Urania's godly mapped eyes wink star secrets to a new prophet. One of nine for the summoning. Careful now, waves of fate play before us. Once summoned, irreversible, altered fate holds true. Better watch out for those muses. Okay, we've got a nice lineup for this evening. So, could we welcome up, first of all, to the open mic, Mr. Alan Cokey.
And the theme is things like winter and death and that kind of stuff. So, what's our tune? And in the deepest sense, nothing is wrong.
Thank you.
I'd forgotten how much I like winter. Cool juices of living fruit forge tapestries in my soul. Nights glisten in serene perfection. There's a tap dance over there. Cool waters run deep in my soul. Icy statues appear out of nowhere, glistening. Lakes freeze deeper than ice. Even sorrow freezes. They might be making bombs somewhere. The tides might be rising everywhere. But it's frozen for the moment. Moments glisten in serene perfection. Winter sun on death. Leaves and relationships are dying all around me. We're all living for the moment now. Whatever that means for you. I eat death for breakfast. Don't talk to me about death. Don't you see that dropping leaf fertilizing the soil? Don't you see the old man tilling the same soil? Don't you hear the laughter at the wake? I don't believe in death. Of course I know that I'm going to die. Through cerebral cortex, through to medulla oblongata, thalamus and hypothalamus, midbrain and brainstem, each cell knows that this can't go on. This dancing in the light, sleeping at night, working by day, worrying about pain. Of course this can't continue. But death and dying are not the same thing. Dying is so full of life. But death is something other. It's more than the mere absence of colour. It's not even blackness, not even blackness. Death exists only in the eyes of the living, another of life's illusions. Thank you. Winter love. It's quiet time, honey. Money means nothing to me now, motivated by love and tender loving you. I know that age will age us and we will die, but that's not the whole story. Our hoping hearts tell us there is more. Each moment that we listen, deeper truths listen. Winter sunlight is short. Our few hours in the life beckon.
Christmas 1920. The days before Christmas glowed through the gloaming, like the delf on the dresser, the logs in the grate. Ice round the pump caught the fire of the stars. Shocked hands felt the burning of frost on the gate. On Christmas Eve morning, the house stirred to life. Teresa chopped suet while Nan washed the plates. The goose was brought down from a hook in the rafters. The bills had been paid with a check from the States. At one, they sat down to salt fish and white sauce, with big floury spuds that came out piping hot. They scrubbed down the deal and stacked some fresh turf. The pill slipped, pudding grew plump in the pot. The kitchen was scented with spices and ham, pots hissed on the hob, as nails threaded from leaves of red-berried holly and fashioned a bough to hang in the window just under the eaves. 6 half-pound candles, a gift from the grocer, each wedged in a mangle, were lit after tea. Since Nan was the youngest, she said the Hail Marys. They knelt in the shadows, not needing a tree. Down in the valley, like jewels in the darkness, in windows were seen tiny pinpricks of light to welcome the traveller, the poor and the lonely, and blaze out the gladness of this special night.
Thanks, Mary. I hope we have some Christmas cheer left for next Monday night. Correct your mind.
Debauchery.
Debauchery.
As you do.
Well, no, we're keeping up with Jack, you know, Jack Lynch House. Next up, the open mic to repeat our melody.
Okay, here's something different. This one is called Floating. I swept the sea under my feet. I moved through the distance, the ship on the horizon calling to evoke memory. Motion of the waves as they form of themselves and die. I motioned to each rebirth and floated through the azure dream of something else, something which began through the dance of its distance, that moved stealthily across the water, sparking of its song in the motions of the waves. I existed through the distant dream that caught me and made me part of it, like some form of invitation to be, invitation to exist. I moved through, floating on the water, watching the sun break into tiny fabrics on the crest of the wave, motioning through the cry of the seagulls and the images that float through the clouds and greet us, that show us their hand and ask us to touch it. I motioned through my fingers to some breeze that I had caught between them, that flowed through my mind like the sticky marijuana smoke of student parties. I looked at the world as I floated through it, moving through the distance from the distant call of the birds that exist beyond history. They cast history aside as if they didn't need it. I moved through the salt water splatter on my face, the moment through which the sun and the water cascade into one, become of each other and sing a tune to creation, moving slowly within one another, the synthesis through which we find that which is whole, that which belongs, that which echoes to his own mind, his own answers to the questions that we are afraid to ask. This one is called Image 3. Imagination casts its light upon the waving field of barley, scattering itself, moving within its pigments. I walked the forest 1,000 times, searching through the leaves for the meaning I left behind, somewhere. The distant crackle of pheasant calls moved through to my awareness like their own search. The distance that we stood from each other and the form through which we grab a piece of our mind and throw it to the birds. Watch it fly. The motions that call us through the crunch of leaves of memory. That form through like some plaster cast image. To be or not to be. The move through each process of its making, that which was cast out through the song and became, the whispered history of secretly through the trunks where young lovers have carved their names, in the hope that their love might grow just as the tree grows. One catches a moment of time and fingers it, allowing our curiosity to run round it, to explore it. We seek to relate, fingers touching in some ghost moments through which one connects and disconnects, where we spin within the probabilities through which we become. Our destiny is woven in some blanket we wrap around, embracing its comfort against the cold. We sleep under the stars and count each one. Each one represents a memory. The image sparkles on our minds and cascades through the soul water, as a waterfall where we discovered ourselves. The endless flow and the splinter sparkle of life against it. The motion through which we dance to the never-ending song, the song of the eternity that made us. This one is called Existence. I dreamt I was dreaming again. The birds that sang to the rising of each morning, that folded the day between their wings, that served to greet us, the dawn on us becoming again, the movement of the days between my fingers, the existence of each beginning casting its light and shattering against windows. I imagined that I was no longer imagining. I imagined the bird's light as being my mind, my sense, the drift through the corridors of history in the song of that which is, the cry of some child in a Baghdad street, the images of incomprehension in her eyes, the paper that fluttered in the wind, the song of the crisp packets and some posters telling you to vote for some politician who formed through the interweaving of fingers his own fantasy. I motioned to myself and took my hand. I danced with myself through the annals of time. I splintered quantum-like on the sense of reality that the bird song gave me through its own intoxication. An intoxication through the loving of things, the seed of joy that blossomed through the moving of the dream dance against which it scattered its scent, to the beginning of forms, and the end of forms, and the never-ending dance through the moments when the world gives birth to itself and exists forever. And this is my last one because I think you suffered enough. This one is called Song. I greeted the morning as it spread itself before me. I moved slowly through the edges of my dreams, motioning to some whisper that got caught in the air. We moved slowly through the distance and existed within each memory. The memory is flowing through some stage of awareness where we stood and gave songs. The elemental twist through ourselves, within and within, spiraling towards some heaven of sense that weaves itself around the trees in the forest and wraps our being within it. I stood on the beginning of life and called out my song to the wild. I moved through the spark-like moment that rises within its own birth. Its memory is forming through as a hymn to the distant sky above us. The sky that sparked within its own dreams and sang the primordial song to the emptiness that becomes filled with its own dancing. Particle interchange through some opera of light that moves to the flickering form of ever-changing in definition. Definition that sprays like graffiti on what we once were. The silent gaze of some street night homeless beckoning us to become as we are, to move through as giving birth. The silent eyes following us, translating our story into theirs and their story into ours. We meet through the middle of things, etching existence against the ancient rock of some far distant past that we hold in our imaginations and dance with. There becomes that through which we began, long ago, like some dream through which we burst forth into the salt spray of some imagination that crashes on the rocks of the shore of being, that sparkles history in the form of its crime. And probably next week will be a bit hectic, I'd like to reiterate to say that thank you very much to Paul for having us here, for organising all of this, and for personally giving me the chance to share my poems and be a guest poet once. And it's been a great evening for me. I've learned a lot and I've really enjoyed being here. Thank you very much.
For the confidence tonight. My pronouncements are great, aren't they? Yeah. Thanks, Mel. We'll have to get you a trumpet because I think your muse has to be Calliope, you know, the epic muse. She has a trumpet in the clouds with this really long scroll of poetry that just keeps them going forever.
I know, well, it's me finding
unique
terms of eternity.
Jennifer Matthews.
Be original and say we need. Right, this one I read before in a kind of different incarnation, but I had some really nice feedback in the past couple of weeks encouraging me to kind of let go of control of the poems, but the more successful ones have been when I was just kind of letting it go anyway, so we'll see how this goes anyway. it's called At the Bottle Bank. Showers of glass are unstuck mosaics, our lives in green and brown and clear mistrust. Grind it all to dust. Red wine molding, cheap old kava dried up, and yeasty whiskey vapors rising like the words of lonely wives. Grind these nights, grind them all to dust. You ask me how, and I wish your family well. False teeth and glass eyes, our masks are skin tight. Grind them all. Break these emptied bodies into dust. Take the carcasses away of these parties, anniversaries of slurred and wandering fights. All our futures, grind them up. The hollowed bodies, melt them down. Hollowing again. Futures, futures, never again. Thanks.
Thank you, Jen. And our next poet, following your sentiments, I'm not going to even bother starting to thank our next poet. He's actually risen the flag for us all this year in a big, big way. Mr. Gene Barry.
Thanks for thanking me, Paul.
Thanks for thanking me for thanking you, Jane.
Yes, there's a workshop on Saturday, but Seamus was there and Paul was there, and we arrived in late, myself and Paul, and the start of the workshop, there were people attending were asked to write a poem about parts of the body, and I wrote this poem about hands, and it's, I suppose it really, I call it tactile memories. It should really be called Ode to My Father, I suppose. So here it goes, tactile memories. How do I know your drive to run these teeth over the inviting dead? What talk to choose when indicating? And blindly rub the chiromantic map with unromantic oils and smooth each surface without life. Dress the contrasting donors with shavings, toiled and blindly undressed in lonely, unhugged trances. Why do I hold this whistle in your clasped hand, spear's index at the ready, with the open snuff box in distracted thought, see to your nails, massage your waiting mound of Venus. Ungloved you gave me life. Beyond our clasped audience of DNA, I applaud you. Thanks. Summer of last year, I think it was June last year, it was the Palestinians were inverted commas permitted to go use their beach again in Gaza and by the Israeli war machine or defense forces, whatever they call it. And it was a family of seven playing on the beach, and an Israeli shell landed in the middle of them. And one of the family of seven survived, an 11-year-old girl called Huda. So this is a poem. I actually wrote it as a letter from Huda because Muhammad's grandfather came from the exact place. And this was the poem, really, the 2,500-year-old bit of history wrapped into one. So I call it Letter to Hashim. So it's for Huda. I am Huda, and I scream to you in the skies above me. Please do not leave me alone to mourn, for I have dipped my tiny limbs beneath the hem of death's door, and trawled for those same arms that hugged me, for the sets of lips that were mine to kiss, for that parental safety net worn by my future, and my arms are empty. I am the only day of our week that lives on this beach of trading, on the edge of another bloody empire. I would trade all spices here today, a word of olibanum and ostrich feathers. I would add my name to the menu of slaves. I would tame 1,000 bureaucrats and trek to our future. But I cannot. For their summer rain has lashed death to my childhood frame, a burden your great-grandsons will unleash, a memory I will undress each day. But my Boswellian roots I will anchor to this blood-stained land that Alexandra failed to Ares turn. My tears I will trade for peace. Thank you. I was at the library there last Thursday week. There was the launch of the Cork Literary Review, and I was watching Eugene O'Connell above talking, and when I got home anyway, I wrote this poem. There was some nice Chenault music at the event as well, so I call it at the library. Sitting, dreaming, listening, and he centred in the flamboyance of a literary gifted moment, pulsed in erotic unison. I searched for the last atom, dismissing his invisibility. The brainwashed stupidness of our disobedience thwarted. And riding the lilting waves, I took myself through decades of tapping feet to ring Slieve Lucre and Connemara, to censor stage with a Maasai pounding a stream of adrenaline, to facilitate the gawking swimmers, spread in laughing on herded groups. He was the many fathers we wished for him to be, so many a father's son he was, floating in understanding, as he rode the podium saddle-free, casting blocks to the heap, a surfacing expert. In happiness, I could have shed for a drop. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Dean. And next up to the open mic, could be called up Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Paul. Right, let me see. Some poem is kind of open or out of whatever you call it, like the earliest form of writing in Irish language. Clamped down as rocks on where our love lies, we interpret our secret incisions. Not in the way of dry overfed scholars who gouge out our meaning, but in the cut gashes of Zure that shone through every fine sense, through bone, cartilage, and medicine. We also stand upright, being soaked from the ground up to the point of rescue by the newly interested, desiccated bodies in the pain of self-congratulation and phony imagination. This doesn't have a title actually, I only wrote it yesterday. On my way, I can't help but notice the fallow leaves, the orphan branches lying on the ground, advertising the autumn like fallen soldiers, shot by bullets of driving rain, who once my wishes to be barricaded inside, watching the action from the window, as addictive as a television screen. I watch in Schadenfreude engulfs me in either side. The easy wind blows through the concrete to chill the insulated space as the rain, as a soldier, sends the firing squad and every living thing. Clapping hands over the old style galleries, gallows, some sort of doomsday is here. Please drive carefully. This one's called DTR. I don't know how many Americans are you in the audience, but a DTR is a kind of defined relationship talk. This is two people, they might fancy each other, they might fancy each other, but they kind of have to have DTR talk sort of where what they're doing and what they're going to go. So that's a DTR. The bad postman ducks the bell, not for my own sake, but for his souls that are sleeping, on whom I've thrown my mercy. I tie the chair and for his chain and for his efforts say nothing. You say, is this DTR? You won't answer, it's only those I can produce. and only once as you were stuffed out by wet-eyed wisdom made by potent midnight oil. You tried to command yourself to sleep. Having failed, you steal my slumber. As Columbo said, just one more thing. Your sore eyes declared a question. Did you ever really love me? Maybe, I said, maybe. Circumstance maybe, belies the answer. You've been 20 inches from my person. As close as you ever be, consummating fantasy. Waking you rose with just shock. Not even taking the time to slam the door behind you, and everyone is still asleep. I just want to make two announcements. First of all, thanks very much for getting the show up and running to begin with. And I'd also like to introduce a friend of mine from Cork called Hugh Murphy. He's promised to recite one of my poems for the OVL session. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Patricia. I'll do my best. Local convenience store was the sleeping done for pleasure, for design in a scheme designed to break the hearts of millions. Let the imagination have mercy on us all. To pull the duvet over situations of our own making, not a rather buying time to hate situations and things to disposal. The purpose of rising from their early death, newer to rise again from slumber, rather I suppose for the sake of conscience for all. Have mercy on us all. Thanks.
Thank you, Hugh.
Thanks.
First time up here. And next up we have another first time Ovaler, Mr. David Burke.
Good evening, everybody. You have to bear with me. This is about peace of mind. Prolonged and incessant thoughts in a mind with no peace, except in the depths of sleep, do I enjoy peace? Do I alone endure? Do I alone strive for this priceless gift which is known as peace of mind? As I mature in years, having shed tears in happiness and sadness, I am left with a thought that only a child can experience peace of mind. Thank you. This is about my mother, who I'm still talking to, and who I admire a great deal. Sweet mother of mine, there for me at all times, good, bad or indifferent, I hold you in the realms of divine. For 9 months you carried me, I was one with you in body, on that day of labour you made me somebody. I've grown in years, we've both shed tears, as well as laughter and smiles, we've both stood the times. You are now in the shadow of life, a life of sometimes pure and strife. To lose you would be a loss and sadness. To forget you would be a sin, for I know that you are happy in the company of him. Thank you very much.
Thanks, David. And next up to the mic, could we please call Sinead Ryan.
Yeah, you can do it. All right, my way. I was walking home one day, the rooster said I'd lost my way, so I knew the day was breaking and sleeping while it was waking. Then my mind refused to sleep, my eyes were hard, they couldn't weep. All my limbs became lethargic, people see me, I am tragic. But my heart cannot beat, there's no movement in my feet. I will live by this day and I will do it my own way. This one then is Kapha Sudan Bandai. It's about an actual event. Unfortunately. Alright. Kapha Sudan Bandai. We cleared the dishes to make room to think. Wash clothes with carbolic soap or something like it. And a kettle full of boiling water. Things I thought only the mothers did. Crickets belting out their evening song provided the entertainment along with the demented sound of some unnamed bird. All around, humanity was quiet, listening, settling, resting. Peaceful until the air split with the scream and the thrashing of a brush on the floor as we chased the cockroach to its terrifying death. This I wrote a few minutes ago, and I wrote it because I was given a line to represent the poem, thanks Alan. And the line has now become the title, Send It Off to the Kitchen. Okay. Sleigh bells ring, a red glint on the snow heralds the prancing feet. Dancer, prancer, Billy and Bob, paw eagerly the ground, waiting to meet the skies. But for two sad eyes, snowy terrain hides a little snowflake. Santa Claus has a pet sheep, snowflake is he named. His heart is in the clouds, his feet stay on the ground. Santa Claus has a pet sheep, but the bugger should never have brought a sheep up to that.
Thank you, Sinead. Next up to the mic, could we please have Mr. Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Paul. Jean mentioned the poem of Body Park. Card, I think, was here. I wrote it yesterday, but it depends on the spelling. It says beer is B-I-E-R, and then two lines further down, then B-W-E-R. Ear, ear. No, no, I fear that piercing spear is far too near my inner ear. You see this spear since late last year? You needn't peer, I'm not King Lear, but quite sincere. No need to jeer, an ugly smear is quite severe. And very clear, your sterile gear is way too near. Now, now, my dear, don't shed a tear. See those red deer beyond the weir? Shh, they'll hear, jump off the pier. Come on, let's veer around the rear. No, no, bumps dear. Yes, bring your gear. We'll share a beer. That does seem queer. I mean a beer, the snow's in here. I'd like to thank Paul as well for giving me the opportunity and having me with Mel back in September at Guest Sport. It was scary, but it was a challenge. It gives a deadline to finish. So I was out for a walk this morning and iPod battery was down, thank goodness. So this little limerick came into my head instead. Outside, she downs her Bacardi and Coke and catches the eye of that bloke. Come follow me, not waving my fee, we're just going outside for a smoke. Finish with this, says Dean. The fairy tree. It was always known as the fairy tree. It overlooks a branch along the famine road. All about the bark, the palest flower that cherished every shower of rain. The line swings free outside the barn where a broken roof gapes at the sky. Daybreak drowned a mackerel sky that ebbed and flowed above the tree, one thorny limb beyond the barn, away too late to take the other road, a gurgling stream alive with rain, the bank supports a lonesome flower. Too hectic here to mirror a flower with petals like the pale blue sky, a sky that lost its hue before the rain. Did the heavens split again at three while lightning forked along the road and whirled the sheets of this old barn? The hangar space within my barn has ample room for corn and flour that was carted up the coastal road long years before we dished the sky, but you pruned back our family tree on that grave day of monsoon rain. How well you chose the nylon rain, I get that axe planked inside the barn and had limb and noose down from the tree, that fairy tree with her ivy flower that binds and winds up towards the sky. The toll is far too heavy on this road. What took you west along the road? What demon spoke to end your reign? In every cloud your face now pans the sky. Did you clamber out the zincless barn or scramble up along the viney flower that violent day till half past three, northeast of sky I sheltered in the road, while you at three in storm and rain, behind the barn, forget me not, my flower. Thank you.